It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This Saturday, an exhibit featuring the work of the brilliant silversmith Peter Muller Monk goes up at the Carnegie Museum of Art. It will feature over 120 works of hand-wrought silver and popular mid-century products by an artist who was considered to be well ahead of his time, who influenced design of household products over the years, and a man whose work you're probably familiar with, but you may not know much about the man himself. So for that story, we turn to Rachel Delfia. She is the Alan G. and Jane A. Lehman Curator of Decorative Arts and Design at the Carnegie Museum of Art. She joins me now. Rachel Delfia, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks so much, Paul. Glad to be here.
What makes the work of Peter Muller Monk so important?
Well, I think Peter Muller Monk was a number of things. He was a visionary artist. He was a brilliant professional leader. He was very, very talented as a personal promoter. He had incredible charisma and charm, and he was able to use that to propel his ideas. So he was also very versatile. He worked for nearly 50 years in many different media. He started out as a silversmith, he became a professor, and then he became an industrial designer. So, you know, we like to say that this show takes you from candlesticks to gas pumps. It's quite a range. We have luxury objects, luxury silver from the 1920s, all the way up to functional appliances that people will remember from their own families' homes.
What led him to dive into industrial design in the headlong way in which he did?
Well, I think Peter came from Germany. He came from a family of artists and intellectuals, doctors, lawyers, but also political activists. So he had this need to work with his hands, to do something that was bringing beauty and order and reason to the world. So something that was beautiful, but something that was also valuable. I think that was kind of within him as a driving force throughout his career across the silver and the product design. So, you know, he first trained as a silversmith, and that was a traditional craft, and he was very interested in modern design, and he brought beautiful modern avant-garde designs and forms to his silver objects. But these were luxury objects, and they could only be owned by a few people. There's an exclusivity in that. There's an inaccessibility in that. And especially once he came to this country, and he was working in New York as a silversmith, the potential clientele for these very expensive hand-wrought goods was only so broad. And especially once the Great Depression really settled in, the demand for that type of work dried up. But he was still interested in making beautiful functional things and things that would matter to people. And so he became interested in making objects that would be more affordable, that would be more accessible, things that weren't made out of a luxury material like silver, but that were made out of plastic or chrome or glass and these other materials. And so industrial design for him was a very natural fit. And I think allowed him to fulfill both the economic need of just needing to have a job and make ends meet, but also personally some of his real interests and what he wanted to contribute to the world. So industrial design was just perfect.
So the other aspect of his story, of Peter Muller Monk's story, is that it's a Pittsburgh story. So talk about his coming here and how it impacted his career.
Yes, this is very much a Pittsburgh story, and it's one of the things that we're very excited about, because this is a story about a man who was nationally and internationally significant. He's a very important figure who has been underappreciated until now, and it has this great local connection because he lived and practiced in this city for more than 30 years. In the 30s, Peter started exploring these two new avenues. He started looking at design for mass production, and he also started teaching on the side. And so he taught evening classes, and he taught summer school, and he was teaching metalworking in New York City and in upstate New York, a number of places. And so he got interested in education, and particularly in design education, and he felt very, very strongly that infrastructure for that was lacking in this country. So in 1935, he was given the opportunity to come to Pittsburgh as an assistant professor of industrial design at Carnegie Tech. This is now Carnegie Mellon University. And the year prior, in 1934, Carnegie Tech had founded the first university degree program, the first baccalaureate degree in industrial design in the country. And so Muller Monk came 1 year into that program as a professor, and it was perfect. And you know, he said it was perfect for him professionally. Teaching is a great depression-proof position, so we had a full-time faculty post. But he was able to learn alongside of his students, and teaching was instrumental in helping him make that transition from silversmith to industrial designer. And one of the most important things that he taught was a class in production methods. And he would take his students on weekly trips to factories all throughout our region. So they would go to Fostoria Glass, they would go to Alcoa and its various subsidiaries, up to Kensington to see their aluminum factories. They would go to Homer Laughlin and see ceramics being produced. And then the students would come back and they would design goods in those materials. Peter Muller Monk, for his part, he was getting to visit factories all throughout this region. And so as an entrepreneur and a budding designer, it gave him a great chance to network. He met the owners of factories all throughout our region, and he also got to learn about these methods just as well as his students. So he learned about plastics, he learned about glass, he learned about other metals, he learned about all of these materials that he could then deploy to his clients and the ultimate consumer's best interests, because a designer has to understand the materials they're working with. So he taught for 10 years. It was a pivotal decade, and he learned as much as his students, and it really helped him launch his career.
We're looking now at a very modern looking couch that could have been in the movie 2001. Tell me about this.
Yes, this is a fantastic couch. So this goes back actually to the 1950s when Bayer, the German chemicals company, and Monsanto, an American company, formed a partnership called Mobay. And this was a company founded in Pittsburgh with the charge to promote Bayer's polyurethane and plastic materials in North America. So in the 60s, they asked Muller Monk to help them promote plastics to the furniture trade. So the assignment was basically to design really cool plastic furniture. And so we're standing in front of this mod couch and cabinet. They are white and kind of a deep magenta, and the cabinet has smoke plexi doors, and it's very space age. You're right. I mean, the 2001 A Space Odyssey comment is very apt. So we're very fortunate at the museum to have the cabinet and the couch. There were only 17 pieces of this furniture made, Paul. It wasn't intended to be produced. It was intended to be inspirational. So they made it. They sent it on tours around the country. They made great brochures that had pictures of it, and then they destroyed most of it. And so we're really lucky to have these two pieces.
I'm glad you were able to salvage this couch.
Us too. It's a great piece of Pittsburgh history.
So there are 120 items in all, and over 120 items. We're not going to get to all of them, but what are some of the others that are important for us to see today?
I think one of the other important objects to see is this one right in front of us, the Waring Blender. This is the first great object that he designed in Pittsburgh. It's also a bit of an enigma. I really love this story because it's a hard one to pin down. So Muller Monk talked about the blender as the first design of his firm for years and years and years and years. But there had never really been a full understanding of the context in which he designed it. And there's a couple of things that make this story complicated. First of all, Muller Monk was a professor from 1935 to 1945, and he practiced out of his office at Carnegie Tech. And so even though he was practicing as a designer, his official address was Carnegie Tech. His letterhead said Carnegie Tech. So there was no separate business, and there really aren't any surviving, quote-unquote, business records. So that makes that difficult. The blender is further complicated by the fact that he was paid in cash. Basically, there was a man named Frederick Osius, and Osius was a tinkerer and an inventor. And Osius came up with this concept for a drink mixing machine. And Osius approached Fred Waring, the band leader of Fred Waring and the Pennsylvanians. And Waring was a Pennsylvania State University alum. And he, in the period, was known as a kind of lover of gadgets. And so Osius approached him and got Waring to back him to the tune of $25,000. So Waring bought in as a sponsor on this drink mixing machine. But it seems that Osius couldn't deliver a fully working model. And so there are a number of records at Penn State University in the Fred Waring archives that fill in some of the gaps. But basically, as Peter described it, a man who could have been Osius himself or could have been a man named Edward Lee, who was one of Fred Waring's associates. One of these men showed up on Peter's doorstep on a Sunday afternoon with a model, you know, with a non-functional blender, and said that they had to get this together quickly because Fred Waring was backing them on it. And Muller Monk said he named a high price, and the man peeled off a wad of cash, and the job was done 4 days later.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are walking through an exhibit featuring the work of the brilliant silversmith Peter Muller Monk, which opens at the Carnegie Museum of Art, where we are right now, tomorrow, Saturday, November 21st. And we've been looking at various iconic pieces from the body of work of Peter Muller Monk, and we're with Rachel Delphia, the Alan G. and Jane A. Lehman Curator of Decorative Arts and Design, who is leading us through this exhibit. What are some of the other things that we need to look at before we have to go?
Well, we definitely want to look at some Pittsburgh products. So right here, we're standing in front of a wall case with a number of small household products, and I'll point to this beautiful streamlined clock. It's brown plastic on a brass base. It's a digital clock, and this was for a Pittsburgh company called Penwood. And I love this, not only for its design. It's a very streamlined model. It's called the Swank, but also because this is not only a Pittsburgh design, it's also a Pittsburgh invention. So the digital mechanism that is inside this clock was invented by a Pittsburgher named Frederick Greenwald. And this was the very first clock of its type. There are these little rotating drums that have the numbers on them. And so all of a sudden, if you have a digital clock, clocks can be a completely different shape. The face doesn't have to be round. This has a rectangular display. So it opens up a whole new field of design possibilities for clocks. And Muller Monk designed this model.
And you hear from a lot of people who say, my grandmother had a clock like this.
Yes, indeed. We hear my grandmother had a clock like this. We hear my aunt worked for the company. It's one of the things that is so exciting about this show is the memories that it triggers, the local connections. And we actually have sheets in the exhibition where people can respond and tell us their stories. And we want to add these to the archives.
All right, Rachel, take us through the rest of the Pittsburgh items in the exhibit that were designed by Peter Muller Monk.
Sure, absolutely. Well, little did we know when we embarked on this project that Muller Monk also designed hearing aids. And there was a great innovator in hearing aids based in Mount Lebanon, founded by a man named E.A. Myers in 1924. His first hearing aid was about 6 feet long and made out of wood. It was a huge box. But the miniaturization of electronics quickly let him and Muller Monk, as his industrial designer, turn these into beautiful personal devices. So we're standing here in front of a case of 5 different hearing aids from the 1950s. And it's really amazing. These are the size of present-day cell phones. And if you think about these in the context of the 50s, these were life-changing products that really allowed people to not only to hear, but to hide the devices that helped them do so.
And there is also the photography equipment, some interesting cameras designed by Muller Monk.
Yes, so we have this whole gallery is full of objects grouped by different themes. So we're standing here in the audiovisual section in front of an incredible camera called the Super Graphic, and this was the top of the line press photographer's camera when it came out in 1958. And this was done for Graflex, which was a company based in Rochester, but this has a great Pittsburgh connection too. And I say that because Pittsburgh is a city of materials manufacturers, and Muller Monk knew those materials manufacturers so well because they were right in his backyard. So even when he's designing for a company elsewhere, he's able to bring it home by speccing these great Pittsburgh materials. And Alcoa was so excited about the way that Muller Monk used aluminum in this camera that they did their own ad campaign, and you can see this ad on the wall, that showed an exploded view of all of the components of this great modern camera that were made out of aluminum.
And then there's the lab equipment and the hats.
Yes, the lab equipment and the hats. Another Pittsburgh leader and innovator was Fisher Scientific. And this was a company founded by Chester Fisher that made laboratory equipment. And in 1964, Fisher Scientific engaged Peter Muller Munk to redesign their laboratory furniture. And the line that they came up with, which is called Contempora, has these wonderful interchangeable colored drawer fronts. So we're standing in front of this cabinet, and the doors and drawers are teal green, bright orange, slate blue, kind of a pale yellow and beige. So it's a really fun palette. It was actually compared in the period to a Mondrian painting. So it's beautiful. And this updated lab equipment that was drab gray, drab brown, drab green. So all of a sudden you have color. But it was also functional because you can rearrange these drawer fronts, switch them off, so you could color code the contents. So it was really, really useful. And this cabinet itself is over 40 years old and has been in use in Carnegie Museum of Natural History for that whole time. So we yanked this out of one of our own conservation labs, and it'll go back into service when this exhibition is done.
Wow.
So I love that. I love that story. So thank you, Gretchen Anderson, for letting us borrow your cabinet. We'll send it back.
Thanks, Gretchen.
And the hats. So we're standing in front of a wall with six hard hats on it. And this hard hat is called the V-Guard Bump Cap, and it's made by the Pittsburgh company Mine Safety Appliances. And Muller Munk designed many things for Mine Safety Appliances, dust masks, packaging. But in 1962, they designed this hard hat. And the exact same hat is still in production today. And so we're actually looking at brand new ones. And to me, this is one of the greatest testaments to a good design. Something that even, you know, more than 50 years later, you can't make it any better.
Still in use.
Still in use, and you can get one with a Steelers logo because this hat is so ubiquitous. MSA is the hard hat with a licensing agreement with the NFL.
And did Peter Muller Munk work with a lot of Pittsburgh companies?
Yes, absolutely. In the heyday of Peter Muller Munk's firm, Pittsburgh was a Fortune 500 city. We had a huge number of corporate headquarters here, and many, many, many of them were clients for Peter Muller Munk. Westinghouse, Mellon Bank, Alcoa, U.S. Steel. Then, you know, even slightly further afield, companies like Schick, Electric Razors, based in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So many clients from Pennsylvania, but also from farther afield. And that's why I say, you know, this is a project with great local resonance, but national significance.
The name of the exhibit is Silver to Steel. It opens tomorrow, Saturday, November 21st, here at the Carnegie Museum of Art. We've been talking with Rachel Delphia, the Alan G. and Jane A. Lehman Curator of Decorative Arts and Design, about the legendary Peter Muller Munk, the German immigrant who settled in Pittsburgh, and this exhibit on the very campus where he used to have his headquarters, features more than 120 of his works. It's a fascinating exhibit. And Rachel, thank you so much for taking us through it.
My pleasure, Paul. Thank you.
Coming up, we'll explore another Peter Muller Munk design, the Unisphere from the 1964 World's Fair.
This thing's going to be around pretty much forever. It's going to outlive everybody who built it. It's going to outlive everybody who sees it today.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.